All right, welcome to the Dadpreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Oliveira. Today on the show, I have the pleasure of speaking with Emmanuel Rose. He is a fellow marketer, but a marketer that is on the cutting edge of everything that is working and is not working. We're going to talk about some of that today. Welcome to the show, Emmanuel.
Thanks so much for having me, Alex. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Absolutely. So before you were doing marketing, what were you doing, Emmanuel?
Let's see, that was a long time ago. I've always been on the sales and marketing side of the business.
Okay.
So I love connecting people and solving problems. And so my very first business activity was selling seeds door to door when I was like 5 years old, you know, to get the model airplane through the mail, you know, a million years ago.
Yeah, there's no better experience than that, by the way. I mean, I highly recommend, when I talk to college kids, I'm like, if you want a skill that I think everyone should have, is door-to-door sales, because you quickly find out that you get like 99 no's and one yes, then you get two, then you get three, and you just become a little bit, you know, harder because of that experience, right?
Yeah, exactly. That or the Kenco knives. That's another good one. They have a really great sales system that you can learn sales from, and then you carry that on for the rest of your career. Yeah,
absolutely. That is great. And so for you, did you always have that passion for working with businesses? I find this with marketers that, you know, either they're focused more on the creative side of marketing and advertising, or they're on the other side, which sounds like you are, which is like the technical side of creating campaigns, that you see the growth of the business and it gets you that satisfaction. And at least that's the case for me. I tell business owners, I said, like, I really do get pleasure out of seeing your business, whether it's product or service, convert. And then year after year, seeing your growth and you play a part in that. It's like having your own multiple businesses, right?
Yeah, no, I would agree. I'm more on that side where, you know, I like to build in my systems, and I keep everything duct tape simple and very manageable for the business owners. And so sometimes I only work with a company. You know, I had a pet food store, a local pet food store. I worked with them for about 9 months. We built really good systems and tracking and KPIs and then email marketing, and their business increased by over 75% in a very short amount of time. And then I was obsolete.
and that's okay. I experience that all the time too. A question I get is like, why is your turnover so high? I'm like, well, it's actually not so high. Here's the thing. If I take a client that started, you know, with a 2-person team, they're doing maybe $500,000 in sales, and I take them to 3-4 million, where now they have 20 employees. The natural next step is to build your own marketing team. Yeah, they end up working with me, and then you don't need me anymore.
Right. Because marketing, there is a part of marketing that is, I don't want to say cut and paste, but it's very structured, right? If you identify a problem, you create a solution with your product or service, then you have a call to action, you agitate a little bit, and then you're closing business. And that's very simple 4-step scenario works in every piece that you create. You can absorb that and use that system, then you're going to have people asking for more information.
What are you seeing now in your experience in terms of the rise of AI and obviously the tools like blogging tools that you can create just an abundance of copy and content? Talk to us about that, because it's a question I'm getting every day, and you know, quality, this, that, the other. So talk to us about that.
Well, my focus with my clients and in my books on marketing is about being authentic. And so that's the cornerstone that I coach and preach and recommend. And so whatever the tool is that you're using, as a marketer, you've got to maintain that focus, that authentic voice, that realness, that is the reason why you're in business and why you're doing what you're doing. So that has to be the overarching philosophy, number one.
Yeah, which I think, you know, Emmanuel, I mean, even before all this rise of AI, everyone has had to deal with that. And what I mean by that is We used to work with a company called Text Broker, where they had an army of writers, you know, like a freelance marketplace.
Sure. Yep.
And clients who couldn't afford to build a lot of content, I'd say, well, here, you could work with these writers. There's 1-star to 5-star. And but at the end of the day, it was hard getting clients, especially the small business owners, to say, look, but you still need to add your voice, which gets at your authenticity thing. And I said, there is no set it and forget it. The idea that you're going to hire a entry-level marketer or a freelancer to do your voice. And it's, I think that's, I don't know about you, but to me, it's the hardest thing to do with small business owners or solopreneurs is to say, I need your cooperation. Like, we need to work together.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it works better.
I 100% agree. And I really try to get my CEOs to spend the first thing on Monday morning, give me 90 seconds of video to tell a story about what they did over the weekend with their family or employee of the month or something they're involved in the community, but just 90 seconds of video. So then my team can take and churn that, as you know, into all the pieces that you need for blog and social. And then that way the voice is authentic, is real, because it's coming from that person you're trying to manipulate it. So sort of that, it becomes prompt writing, right, for the AI tools. And so you, if you're not going to hire an agency, then you need to be educated, and you need to educate yourself about how to write good prompts and how to reference past pieces that you're very happy with in order to bring that same voice in. And then that speeds up the process. So that's the AI take that I have right now.
I agree. Yeah. You still have to go after, you know, at the end of the day, I think that a lot of these lawsuits that are arising from copyright or, you know, is it authentic or not? And I say, well, if you gave it the prompt as you would to an assistant and then you went back and you edited and you made it your own, to me, it's authentic. It's yours. Now, if it sounds like a robot built it, then no, it's not authentic, you know?
And it's worthless. If it sounds like a robot built it, it's worthless, right? Because we're not going to be able to compete as small businesses, you know, 25 million and less. We're not going to be able to compete in the volume of content. So we have to make sure that our content is targeted to keywords, targeted to psychographics, targeted to our A-list customers and prospects. Our businesses will continue to grow if we meet those mandates.
You know, one question that I get often on this from our listeners on this podcast, we do a newsletter and, you know, all the different social channels is, hey, I'm a small business owner. I need to hire someone, either an agency, a freelancer, or someone internally, maybe part-time. What do I do? And I try not to give that advice so it doesn't sound like I'm just taking them over to my agency. I always like to hear from other fellow marketers. What advice do you give business owners? Actually, I have a nonprofit that we just did a project for, and they're ready to hire someone part-time. Yeah. And they're saying, well, where do I start? And I said, I can give you all the X and O's, but I'd love to hear your take on what advice you would give to business owners when hiring.
You know, I think it's an interesting question. And of course, I run into this as well. I would say any organization that's doing $2.5 million or less should designate a marketing budget of somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000 for ICs and hire an agency, because you cannot, as an organization that small, with that small of sales, hire a copywriter, a graphic designer, a digital designer, a marketing strategist, and the full breadth of marketing. One person's not going to be that solution for you.
You mean you can't just find that one guy on Fiverr who can do it all?
I know. You know, I got to break it to you. You
can't. It's crazy, right? Like they'll just arrange it and go, look, I've got all these Fiverr and the Upwork people. And you're like, yeah, but it's still all discombobulated.
Right. So your web person, you got to have your web person. And that's usually where people go. They're like, oh, I'm going to hire a web designer. Well, that's cool. But I'll almost guarantee you at a 95% certainty, that person's not a copywriter. And they have no idea about SEO or latent semantic indexing or anything that's technical, right? About writing.
That's right. Or even analytics. I mean, I'm always surprised you'll come across a business that's doing very well. And I go look at, well, can we look at your Google Search Console, your analytics, your tag manager, your No. Yep. Well, my web guy did it. And he didn't install. And you're like, oh, you're kidding me. So he's also your marketing guy. Drives me crazy.
So anyway, you know, if that's how I look at it. When you're under 2.5 or so, you got to hire an agency. And
okay.
You just set that a la carte budget, because the correct agency is going to have all the resources to take care of what is very complicated now. You know, 20 years ago, marketing was way simpler than it is now. Now it is, there's a lot of dimensions to it. And we've got so many channels to reach out that we have to have experts in each of these areas, and you're not going to have the HR budget to get what you need.
Otherwise. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Talk to us about Gen Z. You know quite a bit about that audience. And I think it's one that both on the HR side for companies who are, oh gosh, you know, Gen Z, and they go with the stereotype, and I'm like, slow down. You know, you're stereotyping maybe two bad experiences. Not all Gen Z are only electronic, right? Driven, that is. You know, they'll say, oh, all they know how to do is to be on their smartphone. I said, well, that's not true. I think you've just picked some bad apples, and then you're blaming the whole generation. And but on the other end, as far as marketing to that target audience, talk to us about that. What are some of the key things to consider?
Well, one of the first thing, obviously, you mentioned is that you really do need to be digital first. So that's the first thing, because this cohort, which is people 27 younger and younger to about 11 years old, they are the first real digital generation. So they're going to do their own research at some level, either on a website or through a social channel or through some kind of review. So we have to be digital.
Right.
We have to take that serious. It has to be mobile. The second thing is that this cohort is very prudent. They want to make money. They're very sensible and discerning. Mm-hmm. And so we need to have a social CEO of some sort. We need to have an influencer from the company who is speaking about the virtues of the company, not just the products and services, but the orientation to social issues and the community. So that's really the second mandate for this group, is that they need an influencer. And it's a massive disservice to a small business for the CEO to say, well, I don't like social media and I'm not going to do it. Well, what you're saying is you're throwing up the white flag and saying, I'm just giving up, and you should just close the doors and go work for the county if that's your attitude. Mm-hmm. Right. And then the third thing is that they want to have experiences, and they need to kind of be led through the processes. They're a little delayed in their adultness from COVID and from psychology of parenting, which is another conversation, but they need to be led more than maybe what you and I needed when we were similar ages. So that means these kind of events and work and side by side with people from your company to do whatever this product or service is, right? So those are the three things, is you really got to be digital, social CEO, and then create experiences for them.
Well, that's great. That's sound advice. Absolutely. You know, for a lot of those small business owners that I know listen to this podcast, especially the solopreneurs, along the same lines as hiring people that we just talked about, freelancers versus agencies, if you had to, and I know this is a question that is loaded because it really depends on the business, region, competition, a lot of other variables, but generally speaking, in your experience, what channel, if you had to pick today for marketing, and of course, probably going to be digital, what channel would you put your money behind if you're a small business owner? And I know it depends on what industry and all of that?
Yeah. No, I mean, if we're, and it depends on how you're stratifying your target market, right? If it's, if we're going after that, that the Z's, then I'm going to say TikTok videos, that's by far will kill it. You know, if I'm going after millennials and Xers, then you're looking at Facebook ads, Instagram ads, Twitter ads, and email, because the Xers are still open in email and will respond.
That's right.
Some of the millennials will too, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other kind of hidden gem in all this that's finally coming back is direct mail.
Direct mail. Right.
And so I do kind of an annual test with a lot of my clients and do one direct mail campaign every year, and to see what it generates. And the ones that it takes, then we bring that in, we build it in for the rest of the year. The ones it doesn't take, we just say hope it covers the cost. But pay-per-click ads are definitely on social, are to me are producing very good results. Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, that's great. Now, I know that you've written a series of children's books. So talk to us about that. I mean, I know I've written a book, and mine was marketing. I do have a children's book that I've been toying with for a long time. But talking to someone who has written series, talk to us about that book and what inspired you to write it.
Well, I have some grandchildren who are like 4, 5, 6, and they live remote from where I do. So I was like, well, I want to make sure that I'm impacting some ethics and these conversations around, you know, how to be responsible human beings and interact with the nature primarily. And so that was my motivation, was for my grandchildren. Henry, Wenaha Henry, the red-tailed hawk, is kind of the primary character in the picture books. Uh-huh. And Henry is my grandson. And then I've written the other grandchildren into as different animal characters. So they get very engaged, obviously. And as they're aging now, I'm moving into the chapter books. So I've got some now 50 and 60 page chapter books that'll be out for Christmas.
That's fantastic. I love that. You know, I'm thinking like your grandchildren go to school. They're like, yeah, my grandpa wrote a book with me. And we're like, what did your grandpa do? Right. It's like no competition. Like, oh, they gave me $100. Yeah. So what?
Right.
I got a book. Yeah.
I got a whole series now. Yeah. So I've got the next picture book is about the secret of the grouse, which is about stillness and teaching kids to be able to sit still and that there's value in that.
Yes.
And it's kind of a precursor for meditation. My hope.
So Emmanuel, I mean, our audience here, those who listen to us weekly, know my wife and I, we have 4 kids and we homeschool them. We are in our sixth year homeschooling them here in Florida, and we love it. We love it. It's been such an amazing journey. And actually, Wednesdays, so yesterday is our meditation day. So every Wednesday we do meditation. When needed, we do more. I mean, me personally, I do it daily, but for them, it's like, okay, cool. And you talking about the stillness, I think is such a great topic, because sometimes when we're camping, we have a little RV and we go out camping. People say, well, don't your kids get bored? Because there's no electronics. I mean, when we go camping, we're just out in the woods.
That's the point. Right.
Exactly. And like, but that boredom inspires them to create things, dig, go grab a stick, build something. And it's like, it's nothing that we're doing and necessarily, it's just putting them in that place and then watching that stillness, as you're talking about, or boredom, become something beautiful, right?
Yep. Yeah. So, I believe that we have 2 questions to answer, is why am I here and what am I here to do? And those, the answers to those questions can only come to us ourselves, by ourselves, somewhere from sitting and reflecting. And in prayer or meditation or whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
So, I'm totally aligned with you on that. Yep.
I love it. I mean, I rarely share that passion with marketers, because I joke with my kids. I'm like, you know what the problem in the world is? Marketers. And they go, why marketers? I'm like, because we marketers, we're in the business of getting into your pockets, understanding your behavior and ripping that out and then giving you something that you don't need often. Let's be honest. Right. Now, I try to work with businesses that are things that are meaningful to me and my family as well, right? So I try not to take clients that if I don't believe in their product, you know, no offense, I'm just not going to take it, you know? But I joke with them. I'm like, you know, for doing so much digital and online lead generation for over 15 years, I'm such a just sit in the middle of nowhere, no electronics, no marketing. I'm not a great consumer, that's for sure.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because after I did all this research about how to market to Gen Z, then I'm like, wow, there's the psychology of these kids is tough. And we have a mental health crisis with the addiction to digital, right? So the book that I'm working on right now, and I'm trying to put the finishing touches on it in the next month, is about mentoring Gen Z and what our responsibility is as elders in this culture, in order to help create situations where they can get not just away from that, but get engaged with nature, get engaged with other humans, and how we guide them through it, because they're a lot different than we are. They grew up in such a different time.
Yeah. You mean we can't leave it up to TikTok and Google to do this, or Facebook? No, those guys are like, how can we build more tools so that they can do nothing? See, the way I explain it to my kids is like, there's really just two types of people in the world now. You know, we always use those examples in the context of everything, but I really mean it. You're either creating or you're consuming, period. You got to figure out, do you want to create or do you want to consume? And if you want to consume and be in front of a screen, doesn't always have to be a screen. It could be whatever. That's fine. You're going to be on the other end. You're not going to do anything meaningful with your life. Or you could be on the other end saying, I'm going to spend most of my life creating things, which means you got to get off your phone, number one. Because I have this conversation with some fellow marketers who have a lot of marketing apps on their smartphones. And I'm like, I don't really do that for the fact that, you know, if I'm working, I'm on my laptop, my computer, and I'd like to see things in a bigger screen anyways. So why would I manage a Google Ads campaign off of a small screen that's just going to suck me into some other app that's going to pull me here, pull me there? And so what I always say is like, look, if you really want to do meaningful things every day, look at your digital well-being on your smartphone to see how many hours you're spending. And if you're spending hours upon hours a day on your smartphone, that's a problem. And it's not just for Gen Z. It's like everybody.
No, it's all of us. Absolutely. We're all subject to the dopamine drip. And that's the magic of what social media has done, is giving us constant dopamine. So again, it's the trick in all this is, if I'm going to take my grandkids outside, I got to be outside too. And I got to put my phone down, right? And be present. So
be present.
That's the magic. Yep.
There you go. Well, perfect, Emmanuel. Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, really, I've got a bunch of key takeaways that I'm going to put in the show note here. Always a pleasure to talk to a fellow marketer who is doing like amazing things out there. And we look forward to seeing the series of books. And good luck to you with everything. And we'll see you again sometime soon in the podcast.
Okay. I hope so, Alex. I really enjoyed it today. Thank you.